I'd like to read from Hebrews chapter 7, beginning in verse 11, and then reading through till verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may we grab hold and get our arms around this passage. This is the kind of stuff not easily read, but it takes wrestling. And I just ask that you allow us the ability to wrestle with it significantly enough in order to come away with much this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. People of God, our problems have always been rooted in sin and in the temptation to sin. In fact, the Scripture tells us we were born sinful and unclean, and also that we tend to be satisfied in that state of affairs. That doesn't bother us. We're at home in sin. We know that from the beginning, our sin and defiance of God has alienated us from Him. There's a great problem here. He hates it, this sin. He judges those committing sin. He separates Himself from all people stained by its corruption. This is a problem. And so our sin, it brings pain and misery and death upon us. And even though we don't care much for those things, it does not pursue us or does not stop us from pursuing forbidden fruit. You know, our sin, the way sin operates in us is it's like we get a scent. We smell a female dog in heat and we just kind of can't stop until we find her. That's the way sin is in us. It's a drive. We're determined. And we have no problem relating to what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" No, we can't forget that our problem is and will forever be sin. It's a sin problem. It's our 24/7 predicament. And it's the root of all of life's hassles. You think about it. Problems in our marriages. Children going wayward. Frustrating employers. Disrespectful employees. Division in our churches. Ungodly civil magistrates. Worry, war, pain, sorrow, grief, ethnic separations, old age, loss of livelihood. These things are all evidence of our fallenness, our unrightness with God. They remind us all that all is not as it's supposed to be. Indeed, who will rescue me from this body of death? Friends, God has provided a go-between. Someone who is making all things right. And it's Jesus Christ. Jesus is actually ministering and mediating as a priest on our behalf before the Heavenly Father. Our Lord Jesus has become the church's advocate. And He is restoring us, making us the way we were supposed to be in the first place. It's not a one-time restore. You're saved. That's all you need to worry about. It's not a one-time restoration. That's the beginning of this restoration process. He's making us the way we are supposed to be. It's the reason He came to earth. It's the reason He suffered and died and was resurrected and ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father as our priest. And before Jesus came, before He became a priest, well, there wasn't anyone found who could perform this duty in a way that would meet our needs. All other priests have always fallen short. They've always been imperfect. They were chosen from our gene pool, skewed, wicked. But not Him. And so the apostle, he confirms right in the beginning in verse 11, if perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given to the people, then why was there still a need for another priest to come? If perfection could have been accomplished through those guys, what need would there have been for someone else? Someone in the order of Melchizedek. We talked about him last week. Sorry if you weren't here. But not the order of Aaron. The order of Melchizedek. Aaron was the high priest from the Levitical tribe. It was his descendants that would serve as high priest while the Levites served as the other priests. But the question that he ends with here, the end of verse 11, is that if perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, why was there still a need for another priest? Is a rhetorical question. You see, the Levites, they were sinners too. And so they could never completely satisfy the qualifications necessary to be our go-between. They couldn't do it. how are they any different from you and I? And so they couldn't do it right. They could not restore us to God, these Levites. And make no mistake, okay, God established them as His priests to serve in the earthly sanctuary. God told Moses in Exodus chapter 40, verses 12 through 15, you argue with this, you can't argue. Bring Aaron, it says, and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Good. Then dress Aaron in the sacred garments, anoint him and consecrate him so he may serve me as priest. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics. Anoint them just as you anointed their father so they may serve me as priests. Their anointing will be to a priesthood that will continue for all generations to come. Listen. God established Aaron and his descendants to minister at the altar on behalf of His covenant people. And they ministered daily, offering sacrifices for the sins of the people. They shed animal blood. And they prayed and they taught. And in fact, they were still doing it. They were still doing it when this letter to the Hebrews was written by the Christian author. They were still serving in the temple, these Levites. And we can hardly fault them for it. Look what was told them by Moses. But their time had now come to an end. Their imperfections needed now to give way to the perfect one. What they could not do on the sinner's behalf, Jesus Christ could. And yet, how often do people avoid coming to Christ? They know they're guilty before God. And they kind of want a priest as a go-between. But they don't necessarily want to be changed. They don't want a priest who can change them. Someone who will mortify their flesh. No. They like their sin. So they settle for a lesser priest. My guess is some of you have been there. My guess is some of you might still be there. Settling for a lesser priest. Not wanting really to be changed. Not wanting the real thing. Now these people, they would rather play religion. And the Jews in Jerusalem at this time, those who rejected Christ, they chose to stick with lesser priests. No, thank you. They preferred their shadows to God's substance. They chose to play at religion. And Judaism continues to play at religion to this day. But you see, it's not going to help them with their sin. Verse 12. For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe. And no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah. And in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. Okay, understand that Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi. Rather, he descended from the tribe of Judah. And that registers, okay? We register when we hear about Jesus being from the tribe of Judah. That registers with our prophetic minds. It registered with the Israelites' prophetic minds that from Judah the Messiah would come, the Lion of Judah, the Root of Jesse, the Son of David. No, the Messiah was to descend from Judah. There was no argument about that. But in regard to that tribe, Judah, Moses said nothing about priests. So what's up with this? Well, hold on a minute. Moses said nothing about priests in regard to the tribe of Judah? Maybe it wasn't explicit, but surely God implied the priestly connection between the Messiah coming from Judah and priesthood. That's what Psalm 110 is all about. That was read as our call to worship. You see, even though God established Aaron and his descendants to be his earthly priests, God swore an oath that the Messiah was going to minister as a priest from another order, not from the Levites, from another order. In Psalm 110, he declares, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." Friends, Jesus, he did not need to be a Levite. Some have actually worked to show how Jesus came from the Levitical line. How crazy. Further, we know from verse 11, if you look back, that the tribe of Levi could not provide the perfection us sinners require in a priest. So what good would it have done for anyone to prove that Jesus was a descendant from Levi when we're told here that the Levites couldn't provide perfection? No, this is the real deal. Jesus is the only go-between for sinners now and forevermore. I ask you, is he your priest? Is he your priest? You know, many people, they find their go-between in someone else. My brother, he's such a godly man. I really appreciate him, and I ask him to pray for me, and I really depend upon him a lot. They make men their priests, their go-betweens. It's almost as if sometimes we don't really want to deal with God direct, but Jesus Christ intimately. We make the pastor the go-between. Oh, he's the one. We put him at a different level. It's crazy. We each and every one of us answer to Christ intimately. He's our go-between. But the author of Hebrews continues. This whole section of Hebrews, Steve Schlissel, who's a pastor in New York City, he calls this a sermon on Psalm 110. So if you really want to wrestle more with this, take out your Bibles later on this afternoon and wrestle with Psalm 110 and the story of Melchizedek in Genesis and this text here. Verse 15. "And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears. One who has become a priest, not on the basis of regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life." F.F. Bruce writes, and he's referring to Psalm 110, where God swore, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." F.F. Bruce writes, "What the oracle implies," our author argues, "is that the Aaronic priesthood did not exhaust the mediatorial functions which in God's purposes were to be discharged between him and the human race." In other words, God needed someone more than he had with the Levites. He needed someone who could discharge his purposes, function as a complete priest between him and us. These Hebrew Christians, they needed to know that God had long ago planned to provide the perfect priest from outside the descendants of Aaron. And God states this emphatically in Psalm 110, choosing his priest from a different order. Listen, an order found existing under the radar. Jesus Christ is from a priesthood that exists under the radar, if you will. He comes from an order figured typologically in the historical person of Melchizedek, that king priest of Salem who came and greeted Abram in the wilderness, and Abram bowed to him. This is the order that Jesus comes from. As I mentioned last week, the priestly order or group, okay, from which Melchizedek originates, it's a different order altogether. It's not Levitical. It's better. It's a priestly order begun from the womb of the dawn. It's an order that helps us to make sense of other godly people who did not originate in Israel. Job, where is he coming from? Elvin mentioned Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, priest of Midian. Where did this guy come from? Melchizedek, where did he come from? This is the kind of order that Jesus ascribes to. It's not Levitical, it's another order. The order of Melchizedek. But it isn't plain to the Hebrew eye. On the surface of things, we see the text that says, bring Aaron and his sons, dress them, wash them with water, consecrate them. They will be anointed and continue for all generations to come. That's what the Hebrew sees. And on the surface of things, the Hebrew Christian might be tempted back to Jerusalem, back to the temple where those priests serve. But under the surface, where the supports are, the priestly order begun from the womb of the dawn is the order from which God's man ministers. It reminds me of the Chronicles of Narnia, when Aslan tells Susan, though the witch knew the deep magic, there is a magic deeper still, which she did not know. And so Christ appears as our high priest, bringing substance beyond the shadows of the temple priests and the temple cultists. Friends, our go-between had to be perfect, for he is required to minister on our behalf, not on earth, but rather in the heavenly temple, the real McCoy. Verse 23, now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son who has been made perfect forever. Do you remember how we began? Our problems have always been rooted in sin and in the temptation to sin. And we talked about how we tend to pursue the forbidden fruit at all costs. It's kind of what we do. We're driven like dogs getting a scent of another in heat. And we know that from the beginning our sin and the defiance of God has alienated us from Him. And we can only cry out, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" I think we know. People of God, the good news. There's a permanent priest in heaven, and he's able to save completely those who come to God through him. He can meet our needs. Why? Because verse 26 tells us he is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. And the amazing thing is that he can save us completely, but he insists on dealing with the core problem. And that is the sin that is within us, our 24/7 predicament. Are you willing? Or are you determined to cling to your sins and settle for a lesser priest? Please, please do not remain at the foot of the mountain only, but go up. Please do not call for Aaron to fashion for you a god that you can worship, a sacred cow. That's a mistake. Please want to be restored. And then understand that this is a moment by moment walking with Christ as He ministers to you in your every circumstance. He knows every detail. Every detail. And it's through those circumstances that He puts us, that He ministers to us to make us what we're supposed to be. How do we respond in our day to day? Please want to be restored. And do not be afraid. Those of you who hold off, who are fearful of what they might find when they come to Christ, when they let Him minister intimately, do not be afraid, but hear these promising words of Paul the Apostle in Romans 8. This is comforting. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And listen, we got to understand just exactly what he's doing there. Listen to what Jesus Christ is able to accomplish as our priest. H.B. Sweet writes this. He's not to be thought of standing before the Father with outstretched arms, like the figures in the mosaics of the catacombs, and with strong crying tears pleading our cause in the presence of a reluctant God. But as a throned priest king, asking what he will from a father who always hears and grants his request. Jesus does not serve as our priest as a beggar. Jesus will always be given what he wants. And he wants you and me to be the way we were supposed to be. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, you are a great high priest. Now and forevermore, no one will ever take your place. There is no help for sinners apart from you, Lord. And I pray that we as your people would continue to be, that we continue to see our need to become restored and be the people that we were supposed to be. You minister daily, Lord, moment by moment, aware of every detail. Just pray and ask that by your Holy Spirit we would become more and more faithful to you, more right. That you'd kill and mortify our flesh, and that we'd be led by your Spirit. And we thank you. Amen.